Welcome to Take Back, the Universe Loves to Laugh, here at Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, or worldwide, radio.dominican.edu. I am your host, Barbara McVeigh. We got big things to talk about here on Take Back, and we have an agenda. As our planet faces global climate change, melting polar ice caps, and ocean acidification, we like to remain positive. There's hope. We're still alive. Here at Take Back, we plan to get deep into understanding these issues and ask big questions about what does it mean to be human. So my first big question is this. If we are dealing with such big global environmental problems, a direct result of our behaviors, isn't it a good time to talk about community and what we can do together to make things happen for all of us? Each Tuesday at noon here on Take Back, we have thinkers, poets, writers, educators, musicians, and environmentalists help us get it right and navigate this crazy journey called life. Maybe we'll get inspired to make some big changes and we'll have fun and laugh. So today on Take Back, we have a very special guest, Richard Pedamonte, organizer for the 40th anniversary of the Fairfax Festival this upcoming weekend. Now, Fairfax, located in Northern California, is known as a little happy hippie town, and it's got a great reputation, music town and more. And for 40 years, this festival has been happening. Richard has been organizing this event for the last 11 years and more, and we really look forward to talking to Richard about what it takes to run a 100% volunteer group and listen to what he has to say about community. Welcome, Richard. Thank you for joining us here at Take Back.
Well, what an honor to be here, Barbara. Thank you so much.
Tell us about this festival.
Well, actually, you mentioned the 40th anniversary, and I have to make a small correction there. And actually, there were many Fairfax festivals going all the way back to about 1905, at different times of the year. But in the raucous 60s or so, the festival got bigger and bigger and wilder and wilder, and finally the police chief came to the town council and said, you know, I'm just worried, I can't keep the town safe. We have so many people coming here and dancing and carrying on in the streets that I'm going to recommend we don't have a festival. So much to everybody's chagrin, the festival took a hiatus there of a few years, and then 40 years ago this year it was revived. So this is our 40th anniversary, but probably our 80th year of putting on the festival. So that's just a little background for you.
Wow. And you've been involved for over 11 years. I know you've been running the show for the last 11 years, but you were involved before that too.
That's correct.
So what is it about this festival that makes it special? Why people would be dancing in the streets and why the police chief would have to come and change things around? And it's still going. It's still alive.
Yeah. Fairfax still has that same spirit. For those of you who haven't been there, it's a great little town of 7,500 people. We have live music 7 nights a week at 2 or 3 venues, and more on the weekends. And the Fairfax Festival has just this last year awarded by one of the local newspapers best outdoor music festival and best community festival. So it's a fantastic event, and I think that part of why it's so successful is the fact that it's put on by an all-volunteer committee. So we don't have any paid positions, and we don't use outside promoters. And coincidentally, I used to be an outside promoter, to tell you the truth. Back in the 80s and 90s, when the festival industry was kind of growing, most of the festivals started off as community events. But as they got bigger and more complex, people like me, entrepreneurs, said, hey, I can do this. I will provide all these services for you and charge you a small fee, and we'll go from there. And sounded like a great idea, but actually what happened was the negative unintended consequence was we had fewer community groups and individuals involved. And so a lot of the festivals now you see are kind of cookie cutter events that are rather boring, to tell you the truth. But Fairfax has always stayed away from that, and been put on totally by volunteers. So that's part of why we have such a pure festival, in a sense. We also don't accept sponsorship from any large corporations, so you won't have any cell phone hawkers or window companies trying to corral you when you come to the Fairfax Festival. It's all local. Any sponsors we have are local, and most of them are environmental. So that's another great thing about the festival.
It's pretty pure. I mean, when you talk about community and a reflection of its own community, where you were just talking about these cookie cutter festivals where you go to, they are kind of manufactured festivals pulling in ideas that they think people want. But here you have one in Fairfax where it's really locally bred with the talent, the local talent.
Yes, and because, you know, so many people are involved, everybody, it's like a community event. You see your friends there, they're involved in serving the beer, setting up the stage, parking the cars, collecting the garbage. They're all local volunteers, so everybody has a role, so everybody brings their families, and that's part of why it's such a wonderful event. Also, the other thing that's unique about it is we're really fortunate to have an amazing venue to have the event in. If you come to Fairfax, we have that wonderful park right in the middle of town, Perry Park and Bolinas Park, and then there's a huge ball field, and the park is totally under in a redwood grove, so you have this festival going on in this kind of really bucolic, dreamy redwood grove with a stream running through it. A little league ball field right next door where the kids are out playing baseball, and a pavilion. This is an old, funky 1920s building that's kind of an event center where we have our EcoFest in the pavilion. So it's not like walking down a city street and shopping for crafts. It's like a pretty vibrant event.
You know, one of the things that Fairfax is known for is being a hippie town, and I hear that a lot. Where I guess it is in the sense that a lot of the ethos, a lot of the people who are living there, really draw on a lot of those values, the good values from the 1960s and 70s, environmentally, community, giving back, and so forth. How are those values reflecting the festival that you're involved in?
Well, I think a lot of people come to Fairfax because they know it's a community where people actually communicate with each other, and it's a small town. And of course, being Fairfax and being where it is, of course, we're all the community is very environmentally conscious. So we see the festival as an opportunity to express those values. We were at the forefront of the recycling and composting movement years ago. About 10 years ago, a couple of talented people, including Larry Bragman, who was the mayor at the time, decided to expand the festival, and we added a whole other event called the EcoFest, the Fairfax EcoFest, which takes place in that wonderful pavilion building. And it's all about environmental displays, products, food and drink, and it's really a celebration of the basic core value of Fairfax, which is environmental stewardship, for sure.
We were talking earlier before the show about some of the challenges of maintaining those ethics about plastic, for example, which is really interesting. We were talking about how everyone's trying to get off plastic, which is a good thing, and we're replacing that with other types of product, thinking that it's good, only to discover that it's not. And you've been at the forefront of that. What are you doing this year? I mean, what are the answers?
Yeah, actually, like 10, 15 years ago, when biodegradable stuff first came on the scene, I actually was interviewed on local television about how wonderful all this new biodegradable products were going to be, in cups and plates and forks, how they were going to break down, and we wouldn't have to sort them or see them floating around in the ocean. But now fast forward to today, and what we've learned through this long slog to try and get things purer for our environment is that the biodegradable products that are on the market now, the corn-based, for example, cups and forks and things, are so difficult to process that there are very few people that'll take them anymore, and it's quite expensive. So we've made this giant, huge amount of effort and a leap forward, only to find out that maybe we weren't quite ready to make that big step. So Fairfax, believe it or not, hold on to your seats, folks. This year we are requiring all of our vendors to either use single service, like a stainless steel cups, for example, or good old-fashioned plastic, the dirty word from the old days, So we're back to plastic simply because it's something we can capture and sort and put into the recycle stream. And it's a little higher use than the biodegradables that we have, which are just so difficult. So it's kind of ironic that here we are, Fairfax, using plastic again. But we're moving slowly along. These kind of things move at kind of a glacial pace. You make decisions, and sometimes they're right, and sometimes they're wrong. And so this whole biodegradable industry has a long ways to go before we've solved the problem for events like this.
But you're capturing it well with the recycling efforts, and you have people who are voluntarily sorting things for you.
Absolutely. Marin Sanitary Service sets certain goals for us of how much to how to reduce our actual landfill waste. And we're getting really close to zero because we're able to sort everything. And Marin Conservation Corps, which is a wonderful organization, helps us out with some staffing. And then we, of course, have an army of volunteers so that all the trash gets sorted and put into the proper bins and then taken off by Marin Sanitary and processed. So at the end of the day, even though we're using plastic, almost nothing goes to the landfill, and everything that we use does get recycled into a secondary use.
That's incredible. How many people came last year to the festival, or what are the numbers that you expect this year?
That's a great guess. There's probably 5,000 to 6,000 people on Saturday and 4,000 or 5,000 on Sunday. Saturday, if any of you folks are coming out there, try and get there early at 10 o'clock because we have a wonderful parade at 10 a.m. that goes right through the middle of downtown. And it's your typical small town, funky, hippy-dippy parade with homemade floats. One group is super proud of the fact they always win the best float, but they're part of their vow is, or their agenda is, they don't start building it till the night before. So they all get together and figure out what to do and build the float. And lo and behold, I think last year they built a spaceship or something and they ended up winning first place.
Oh, that's great.
So don't miss the parade if you're going to be anywhere near Fairfax this weekend.
It's 10 o'clock on Saturday. Yeah, and you've got a lineup of musicians and artists and vendors. And I was just thinking to myself how difficult that is to encompass, these values we're talking about with plastic and so forth for a mass amount of people. Because, this is where we get to also learn how to manage people, too. And thanks for saying that bit about plastic, because I've been really involved with the ocean movement. And, plastic is such a dirty word, but is it a question of how we use it and how we can just be more responsible with it? And these are all the big questions that we're asking. And I'm not sure anyone has the answer just yet, but good for you for doing what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you.
Going back to community, Fairfax has such a rich sense of community and people who are trying new things all the time. I have to share a little story. I was in Tasmania about 2 years ago at a film festival. I made a film about the ocean and about plastics and ocean acidification and so forth. And we were there and at the festival, and somebody there, so this is Tasmania, off Australia on the other side of the planet, upside down, where they drive on the other side of the road, completely on the other side of the world, it felt like. And they started to talk about how one community in the United States had started to create their own currency to see if, that would help change dynamics in the town. And I had to raise my hand and say, that's my town. That's Fairfax. Do you remember that? Someone had tried to create our own local currency.
Yeah, the fair buck.
It was
quite a success, to tell you the truth, yeah.
And I don't think it's around anymore, but it was still an example of people in this town, like, just try new things. I think that's where the slogan, that's very popular, only in Fairfax, because people are always trying new things in a small town.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, we launched the fair buck at a Fairfax festival, and we carried it on for at least three or four years, trading money around town with our own currency, and then we amassed a good chunk of money that we were able to give to various community groups. And this year we're finally giving out the last $1,000 or so that we have in our little kitty, and it's going to go to a community event in August. One Sunday in August, we close the downtown streets, and we have an event called Streets for People. So the last Fairbuck money is going to go towards help funding streets for people this August in Fairfax.
That's incredible.
Sure is.
So why do these festivals? What do you find valuable in these festivals? And what helps, how does it help a community? What does it foster? I mean, literally, it helped foster the launching of the Fairbuck.
Yeah. Well, I think that there's one of the reasons why people come to Fairfax is also one of the reasons why we have such a great volunteer group putting this event on. And that's that I think people like to be part of something bigger than themselves that's good. And a lot of people talk about that and why they came to Fairfax. They wanted to be part of a community. In a town like Fairfax, there's 7,000 of us. And, you know, you pretty much, you know most of the people, but you pretty much recognize everybody around town. And everybody kind of watches out for each other. So, and so then, because we have that ethos and that spirit, we have a lot of people that are just so happy to be involved in the festival. And it's a great group. We have these wonderful meetings where we sit around for the evening and have a meal and plan the festival, and all kinds of great ideas come up. Some of them actually get actualized. Some of them are kind of nutty, but so I think it's part of the kind of folks that live in Fairfax see the value of being part of something a little bigger than themselves that is called community.
Which is something we could all use a little bit more of these days. It seems that a lot of people feel separate from others and feel very alone. I mean, I hear this a lot, not so much in Fairfax, but in other communities. It's something that maybe even the country is really suffering from, feeling disconnected, feeling like their voice isn't heard. Even for musicians, finding a place to play. I hear this a lot, especially in our town, Fairfax. I live in Fairfax, too, where, you know, these high-caliber musicians. Steve Wolf is one that I love. He plays at the Roastery in a corner every Saturday morning.
Yep.
You know him?
Of course.
He'll be on my show, actually, in a couple of weeks.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And, you know, here you have these incredible musicians that maybe aren't known on a national level or anything beyond that, but you just understand the value that everybody has that can contribute.
For sure. I mean, and of course, I see we're going to talk about Carolyn Skye here, and maybe hear some of her music. She is known on the national level. She did make it to pretty far along on The Voice before she was eliminated, but she got it pretty far along. But we also have a lot of other talented people, many of whom you've never heard of, some of whom you have. Mark Caron is a pretty talented guitarist who's played with the Grateful Dead. There's a bunch of other people. If you come to the Fairfax Festival, there's three stages of music, and every act is stellar. They're just great. They're not necessarily people that are super famous, but they're super competent, and they really respect their craft. So we're really honored to have these, be able to showcase these people at our festival.
So backing up a little bit about your work, and you've been working with festivals for so many years. What brought you to the stage of this kind of work? I mean, what is it? It must take an immense amount of energy and ideas on your end to pull an entire town together with volunteers. You know, I've done some work in nonprofit organizations, and I'll be the first to say, to get people involved in efforts, you know, you really got to speak to their spirit. You know, because this isn't about money. It's about something else. It's about sharing. It's about, like you said, being part of something bigger. How do you do it? How do you make that? What's your secret? I want to know your secret.
Well, I don't know if I have a secret. I will tell you the story of how I got involved with the festival. I was volunteering just to help out setting up the food stalls and doing a few little things. And about 12 years ago, I suspect. And everything is cyclical, and the festival was on kind of a downward cycle then. Things weren't going so well. Attendance wasn't that great. I can't say it was anybody's fault, but it just was not a good time. And the town started talking about how we can't afford to do this. So, or maybe we have to make it a one-day event. And with my background in the event business, I knew going to one day would be a death knell for the festival. So I raised my hand, and it was a little bit uncomfortable. We had to change the structure of the festival and who was going to run it. I got nominated for that job, So I kind of roped myself into it. We were a great group of merry prankster folks. We were just kind of a raucous bunch of people. So our first official thing, first official act, was to for the Grand Marshal nomination, we nominated the local garbage man, a really nice guy, a famous garbage man. But our Grand Marshal for that first year we ran the event was the garbage guy.
Oh, I love it.
Which was so Fairfax, actually. People loved it. And then at about the same time, the energy started going back up again. So the EcoFest was founded about 10 or 11 years ago, I think, by Larry Bragman, who I mentioned, and a crew of people. And that's added a whole other dimension to the festival. So if you do come, it's a great festival with a really cool, funky old flea market, redwood trees with crafts under it, and food and plenty of beer and wine. But there's also a full-blown EcoFest where there's a lot to be learned and shared. So, I sort of wrote myself into it, and here I am.
And here you are talking.
Yeah, talking about it again.
But it sounds like you kind of saved the show in some ways. And the fact that it's a two-day festival, really digging in deeper for those 2 days. I know a lot of friends in town, and it's like, okay, you know, friends are coming over, crashing over at their houses. And they've really organized themselves to be in their town for that weekend and this upcoming weekend, and really make it an event not only to participate in the town, but in their own life. I mean, it's really a time to celebrate with friends and park the car. Don't even think about getting into the car in or out of Fairfax.
Yeah.
And just really think about your own town. And I love the story about the garbage man, really.
Yeah.
Reminding ourselves that everybody is important in a community, right?
Absolutely. That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
And I think it's wonderful. You mentioned how people come back to town and they spend the weekend with friends or crash wherever they can. And it's just so great that people have that feeling about our town. They want to come back every year, and some people plan their weddings. Either they want to have it that weekend or they don't want to have it that weekend, but they call all year long, when's the festival. And so it's a big community event, and bringing people back from Southern California or wherever they've moved, coming back to town to celebrate good old Fairfax. So it's a great feeling.
I'm wondering if this is a good time to play a song by Caroline Sky. What do you say? Should we hear a little bit of music?
That would be wonderful.
So Caroline Sky is at your festival Sunday, June 11th, right? 12 o'clock is what your website says.
That's right.
Which
correct.
Is www.fairfaxfestival.com. You got 2 days worth of music and quite the lineup. So who is Caroline Sky? I know she's locally bred here in Fairfax, San Anselmo area. You were mentioning she was on The Voice.
Correct, yeah.
Recently. 16 years old, I think.
Yeah, and actually she played, I think it was 2 years ago when she was only 14 at the festival on one of the small stages. And I had no idea who she was, obviously. I just happened to be fortunate enough to be walking by in the Redwood Grove, and I heard this lovely voice. And sure enough, I was transfixed. I stood there for her whole set. But she grew up in Fairfax and San Anselmo, and she's in the studio all the time now. And she had one shot with The Voice and did quite well. They picked her, and so she's off to a great start. And we're so happy to be able to see her again this coming weekend.
And I know Jeff Campbell from San Francisco, another musician I know who I love his music. He's been really involved with her, producing a lot of her work and so forth. All right, well, this song is called Awake Now. This is just straight from her website, carolinesky.com. And we'll be back in about 3 minutes and continue talking about festival and community and more. I'm here at Take Back Radio 102.3 FM with Richard Pedamonte, talking about the Fairfax Festival. Here is Caroline Sky, Awake Now. You are listening to Caroline Sky. She will be one of the performers at the Fairfax Festival this upcoming weekend. I'm here at Take Back Radio with Richard Pedamonte. He is the organizer for this year's event. He's been organizing for the last 11 years, and we're talking festivals, community, music, and all those good, great things that bring community together. And we were just talking off air about how this event does that with a small town of Fairfax and musicians we've got. And Richard, you were talking about some other past musicians who have been with the Fairfax Festival.
Oh, for sure. We did have the honor of having Narda Michael Walden play just a few years ago, who's a Grammy Award winning musician.
Yeah,
as you were saying, he's responsible for most of the soundtracks.
Yeah, you know, it's really amazing. I got to interview him for a film I was doing a couple years ago, and I had heard his name, but when I got to go into his recording studio and see how responsible he is for probably most of the music I heard in the 1980s, I understood just the gravity of his work and who he is. Whitney Houston, he produced Whitney Houston, Aretha Franklin, Jefferson Starfish, so many artists and musicians, and he's an incredible, beautiful man. So one of a heavy hitter, but here you have all these other musicians too.
Yeah.
Part of your festival.
Yeah, I do want to say about Narda. Actually, I called him because we wanted him to play at the festival, and we had just a pitiful budget. I won't even tell you how small it is. So I said, I don't want to insult you, because he has a band and gear and roadies and all that stuff. And I told him the number, and he said, obviously I can't play for that amount of money, but this is Fairfax. Richard, I'll be there.
Yeah.
And he came, and I could see he was inspired by the town, and the town was inspired by him. It was just an amazing, amazing show. He played a little longer than expected, and had a big old smile on his face, and he said, this is as good as money for me and my boys. So it was just so wonderful to have him there.
Great spirit.
Yeah. And a few years ago, we had the Mother Truckers, Fairfax homegrown group, who went on to Nashville and made some records. And they're back here on the scene in the Bay Area. So it was really cool to have them around. And the Tom Finch group, has plays every year. Tom Finch is a great local guitarist who plays for Big Brother and the Holding Company on occasion, and I can't even think of the number of other bands he's sat in with. He's a really talented guy. So we're lucky to have those guys. And the other cool thing about Fairfax is we showcase all this local talent, but the local talent gets showcased every week in Fairfax. We have at least two really wonderful open mic nights in town, and you know, they're very well attended. And every time I go, you think, oh, I'm going to open mic. Yeah, okay, I'll drop by. And I find something really astounding. There are so many young people and old people too who get up in front of that microphone and they really have a lot to offer. And how many towns have that, you know, where you can walk downtown and go in and hear some talented person you never heard of? So it's just another wonderful thing about our little town.
Which is a great thing to share. I mean, any community could have that, really. It just takes a person like you organizing this event, coming up with the idea and going, gosh, who are the people in my community who would want to get up on stage and sing and share what they have? Because I've been to some of those open mics. I'm a Sleeping Lady. It's now closed, yeah. But that's actually the reason I moved to Fairfax. It was half the reason anyway. I just saw how people can get up on stage in these for these open mic events and just show what they have or they don't have in some cases, but the case was that everybody was supportive of them, you know, and incredible talent and young people feeling that kind of support. And what a gift it is to feel that kind of support when you're first starting off and doing something that you love to do, right?
Absolutely.
Without always being told that it's bad or this or that, but you know, you get to show what you have and get better at it. And being blessed in Fairfax with so many great musicians. You were talking about also the volunteer efforts behind this. 100%. I just really want to say the 100% volunteer efforts behind this event. And what other kind of things do you take away from this? And how do you think such festivals transform communities?
Well, I'm just so happy that we have this many volunteers, and It sometimes is difficult because, you know, things are changing and Fairfax feels some of the same pressures that all of us feel and all of our towns feel with increased housing costs and therefore people are having to work harder, maybe work more jobs. So it's getting harder for people to volunteer. We've seen a little dip in the number of volunteers, but when we put the word out the last couple of weeks, an amazing number of people stepped forward to do some of the little simple little tasks, monitoring the parking lot, emptying the garbage. Every one of those spots has been filled by a volunteer. So we're really proud of that. And I think we're pretty unique. Like I say, most of the other events hire somebody to take care of those things. There is one other one I want to mention, though. It's a local community here in the Bay Area, Pacifica, California. And Pacifica is a funny town. It's a wonderful people there, but it really has no downtown. There's a couple of strip malls and they don't have the charming little downtown like Fairfax or Mill Valley has. But there's one street in Pacifica that runs near the ocean, a couple blocks away, and it just has some apartment buildings, a few bars, some sheet metal shops, and a Hell's Angels clubhouse. But for some reason, every year when they produce the Pacifica Fog Fest, literally 50,000 people show up for that event.
Wow.
And I'm convinced that the reason is because they do the same thing as Fairfax. It's a totally local event. So every job, the way they do it is every job is handled by a different volunteer group. So the Boy Scouts will deliver the ice. The Kiwanis Club will run one of the beer booths. The wrestling team will operate the parking lot, and so on and so forth. And there's a couple dozen community groups. And at the end of the weekend, whatever money is made is split up between those groups. But because all these groups are there, they invite their friends, they bring their kids, and here's an event on a street that you would just drive right by on an ordinary day that it just comes alive once a year, and everybody seems to know everybody, and everybody makes friends, and it's just another great one. So remember the Pacifica Fog Fest is another great.
When does that happen during the year?
That is always the last weekend in September, so around the 24th or 25th this year. So I've been working for them since 1989, believe it or not. And even though I'm trying to extricate myself from most of my projects now, that's one I'm going to keep for a few years longer because it's just such a great event.
Wow. Dan Fontes, who's an artist, muralist here in Marin, was on my show a couple of weeks ago, and he was just talking about how, you know, so many of us feel we've lost our sense of community. We feel that we're disengaged. And he said, you know, gosh, but wouldn't it be great if every neighborhood could really show who they are? I mean, just get together with your neighborhood to you know, color it, you know, create an event, do something to show, you know, who and what you are, you know, and not to always feel you have to be something that already exists, right? Like some sort of model that people think that you should be or whatever. And I think about this when I go through the town of Fairfax itself, because just every neighborhood, it feels, has such creativity to it. There's this one house with skis as its fence, and it's constructed, yeah. Right? Yeah. But, you know, really expressing some artistic endeavors. But just going back to what you're doing with these festivals, specifically these two, of really showcasing a small town, and yet they have such big spirits. And what that is doing also for the people, whether it's the organizations and highlighting the value that they bring to a community, or in Fairfax, well, one of the ways that you're doing it is really allowing the artists, who may not have the big names, but they're still very good artists, musicians, perform, and giving them that voice to do so.
Absolutely. And we can't pay our musicians too much money. But conversely, we don't charge the artists very much money either, because it's more about getting the art out there and letting them be exposed to the community. And by the way, whatever money we do make, because money does come in, goes back into the community after we break even. The fire, for example, the Ross Valley Firefighters and the San Anselmo Fairfax Children's Center, they operate two of the beer stalls, and they make quite good money, and that money goes right to their organizations. The firefighters have a lot of causes they contribute to, and of course the Fairfax San Anselmo Children's Center is serves a lot of low-income clients and children, and so we're a major part of their funding. So that's part of the feel-good thing about Fairfax, and that's part of why people come, because they love those institutions and they love supporting them, and they see what's going on. So we were talking about community, and that's part of it right there.
You were talking also about previous festivals that you've been involved in and some of your history with radio and communication. I was hoping you could share some of those stories if you we were talking about some good ones.
Yeah, actually, I had the honor of working for KFOG Radio for 11 years. If you remember back in the 90s until about 2012, they used to put on a huge concert in San Francisco, the KFOG Kaboom. So I worked there, and a part of the gig was every year I would get to be on the morning show with some of you old timers will remember Dave Morey.
I remember.
And Irish Greg and Peter Finch. They had the morning show, so I'd do my half an hour once a year with those guys, so that was a lot of fun. But the thing I'm the proudest of that I was honored to be asked to do is everybody's familiar with, I'm sure, with Hardly Strictly Bluegrass. And I think I mentioned this before, didn't I? That Warren Hellman came to me and said, I'm having a little private party out in the park for a couple hundred people. Can you help me out? And I said, sure, I'll donate my time. And 11 years later, we had 250,000 people, and I was managing 55 restaurants and caterers and so forth, and making sure that they did a good job, and we had excellent food and organized the crowd flow and all that stuff. And it was a huge challenge, but what an incredible honor. Because there's another event that's all about community. Mr. Hellman subsidized the entire event,
wow.
Paid all the musicians, covered all the production costs, paid all of our salaries. We all worked for pennies on the dollar, but paid us anyway. And this was his gift to the community. Now, he passed away about 2 years ago, sadly. And he was a great musician, too, by the way. Here he was a CEO of a huge corporation, a billionaire, but he had a little bluegrass band, and he thought they were pretty terrible, so they were going to call themselves the Wranglers. And he said, no, that's not right. Let's call ourselves the Wronglers. So he spent the last few years of his life touring around with the Wranglers. It's what he wanted to do, and producing his Hardly Strictly Bluegrass event, which comes up in September. So I'm sure about half of your listeners, or maybe all of them, any of them from around here, I'm sure they've been there. It's another great event that is all about what we're talking about today.
That music.
Music and community, yes.
Yeah, and music, it being such the international language, how it brings people together. I talked to a few other musicians about this artistic renaissance that seems to be happening right now. A lot of artists, a lot of musicians are producing and putting out new work, from José Neto to Jai Uttal in our own community, Chris Peck, who will be performing, and we'll listen to actually some music of his at the end of the show. He'll be performing at the Fairfax Festival, Ancient Baby. But beyond that, artists around the country are really charged right now in creating new work. And it's, I think, between the health of the planet to social justice to so many other causes. And it reminds you a little bit of the 1960s, where if, you know, there's a moment of just singing it and sharing it, it's happening. It's been pretty amazing. I get to talk to a lot of musicians and artists, and they're all saying this, and they're all just filled with the spirit. So, and you're doing it for the town here in Marin that is known for music. How fun
absolutely.
Is that?
Yeah, definitely. People ask me why I do it, and I say, well, I just do it because it feels good every bit of the every day of the week, and it never feels like work to me. It's just kind of what we all do. It takes a lot of time, I'll grant you that, but there's never any stress behind that. It's just all, and I think that's how the other volunteers feel as well.
And you start to understand the gravity of your own ability. For these volunteers, they're probably doing things they haven't done before. I mean, I know that's how I got involved in a lot of the work that I did do even today is. I just kind of got involved and then got energized and then inspired and thought, oh, well, I could do this or do that. So it's a good way to feel for new ways of being and new professions, right?
Oh, yes. We've drawn so many people in to the festival, and they've, like as you say, they've not necessarily learned a whole new skill, but they've experienced a lot of things, and they stretch their reality a little bit and add another little layer to their lives. And that's why they keep coming back. We have the same core group that comes every year, and they just keep getting more and more enthusiastic, to tell you the truth.
That's great. How about listening to some more music? We have Ancient Baby, Chris Peck, who is another born and bred musician, Fairfax, San Anselmo area. I think he started his career when he was around 13.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and he's performing. Let's see, when is it that he is performing with you?
Let's see here.
Saturday, June 12th. June 10th.
At noon, right?
At noon,
right,
yeah.
At noon. So, yeah, in the Redwood stage, if you come to the festival, that's one of the nicest, mellowest little stages over there near the flea market. So find a hay bale to sit on and get ready for Chris Peck. That'll be a great way to start your day at the festival.
And a little bit of trivia. Do you know who just finished his... Masters in Humanities here at Dominican University of California.
Let me take a guess.
Take a guess.
Is it him?
Yeah, Chris Peck.
Oh, what a guy. Fantastic.
We both graduated together.
Okay.
So I feel privileged because I got to know him not just through his music, but also just as who he is. I mean, he's this incredible intellect, really trying to feel out new ways of thinking and performing and singing. And he's got an album coming out. He wants to press it onto vinyl. And it's very much about love and about the health of this planet too. So let's listen to Chris Peck, Ancient Baby.
To mind, you know. center of town. Listen to records you found. Such a long time. Some things I will never know. Look at the art on your face. Hard times I still see. Nothing that I haven't known.
All right, we're back here at Take Back Radio, 102.3 FM San Rafael, or radio.dominican.edu live stream. We're here with Richard Pedamonte, the organizer for the 40th anniversary of the Fairfax Festival this upcoming weekend. We've been listening to some music, musicians that will be there this weekend. We're talking about the Eco Fest, which will be there for its 11th year, I think, right? Mm-hmm. Really demonstrating what maybe we can all be doing, get inspired for some environmental missions that we could all use on this planet. And just all the efforts it takes to bring people, businesses, volunteers together. And So Fairfax, little hippie town in Northern California. If I wanted to come to this event, what do I need to know?
Well, the first thing you should need to know is that we have tons of bicycle parking right at the festival put on by Marin County Bicycle Coalition. So please ride your bike by all means. If you can. If you can't, public transportation does come to Fairfax. If you have to drive a car, you're going to have to park a little ways away and trudge into town. But walking through town is one of the great afternoon pleasures that I enjoy anyway. So so definitely think about public transportation and riding your bike there.
Oh, and you got to mention that Fairfax is a total bike town. I mean, the mountain bike culture, right? You'd be doing an honor to Fairfax if you rode your bike.
Absolutely. Some people know this, but Fairfax is actually the official place where the mountain bike was invented.
Yeah.
By Gary Fisher and Otis Guy and all these crazy guys who were young 20-somethings. Some of them were engineers, and they got together for an annual bike contest just on old fat tire bikes going down Mount Tam. And as they got more and more competitive, they started thinking up ways to up their game. So they started putting gears on these big old clunker bikes and maybe better brakes and a little better seats. And pretty soon people started saying, hey, can you build one of these for me? And that was the actual beginning of the whole mountain bike craze. It was right here in Fairfax.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, and we do have a mosaic right in the middle of town honoring the mountain bike, the fathers of the mountain bike, who are still around Fairfax. In fact, you'll see some of them at the festival. Otis Guy is always there, great guy, one of the originals. There's also the Mountain Bike Museum right across, adjacent to the festival almost, which is the National Museum of Mountain Biking. A lot of great displays, so you can drop by there too if you do come to town this next weekend.
And you got to talk about what Good Earth does for this town. They have a shopping center there, grocery shopping, and it's just some really healthy food, and they really do their best to give back to the community. I know they've been very involved in the community in general.
Oh yes, they're very generous with the festival. They provide a lot of freebies, things where we can feed our crew. We don't pay them anything, so at least we can do is get them a decent meal. And the store has really been generous with that as well. And also, the Good Earth is a health food store, but it's one of the few that is 100% organic all the time. So their motto is organic to the core since 1969, and in fact, that's the case. So if you go to any of the other ones, you'll find things that are sustainable, not quite organic, but Fairfax, in Fairfax, it's 100% organic. So we're really proud of that store. So it's a beautiful place to stop by as well.
So coming from San Francisco, you could take the BART, the ferry, you could take the bus and take a nice ride through Marin to Fairfax. And you also have Friday night, something's going on. Film night, right?
Absolutely. Who do we have this year for our film? Up on the ball field on Friday night, it's a long-standing tradition. We have family film night, and it's going to happen right about dusk. Everybody brings their picnic baskets and blankets and sits out under the stars. And I'm trying to remember the movie. It's so popular family movie. I can't remember the name of it right now.
And it'll be up on your website, www.fairfaxfestival.com.
Yes, it will be.
Along with the lineup of all the musicians and other things that you'll have. The flea market.
The flea market is fantastic. It's the real deal. It's a lot of really great eclectic stuff. That's a real special part of the festival, to tell you the truth, as well as the art. We have some really great artists. There's one fella there that I buy something from every year. This guy, I think he does one event a year, lives in Fairfax, and he builds the coolest birdhouses, smokes a big cigar under the trees, and shows up and lays his birdhouses out for everybody to have. And there's lots of other great stuff there, too. So it's a great place to shop, eat and drink, and listen to music.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Richard, for coming here and talking about the festival. I just want to thank you as a, you know, organizing such an event. It's got to take a lot of time and a lot of patience. And it's inspiring to know that, you know, hearing your story. I mean, wouldn't it be great if every small town or every even communities were able to pull themselves together and show what they have? Back to Dan Fontes, who talked the other week, how he said, you know, wouldn't it be great where you can go community by community to see who and what they are and create, you know, their own festivals and show the color and the people and the talents, or even not the talents.
Absolutely. You know, get back to the homegrown aspect. And that's like exactly what we've been talking about for this last hour. A homegrown festival, so we're really proud of that.
Just really quickly, and because I don't want to miss this point, you were saying that a lot of the big festivals are actually struggling now, and it's the small ones that are really finding their voice and their place.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think Fairfax and the other one I mentioned, Pacifica, are two of the more vibrant festivals in the Bay Area. The other ones, well, you folks have been to a lot of them. They're fine, but I think they'd be way better if they got back to the old values of having the community involved and reflecting more of what their town is all about, rather than bringing in artists and musicians that you may or may not have ever seen or heard of. So I don't want to talk down about other events. There's some great ones out there. Novato actually has a pretty good festival as well.
Okay.
But I think homegrown is what it's all about, and community is what it's all about, and that's what Fairfax is all about.
And you're keeping it all together for us. Thanks so much, Richard Pedamonte, for joining us here on Take Back Radio. And we'll be joined next week at the same time, Tuesday at 12 o'clock, with Lyle Harris, who is an artist from Virginia. She's a book artist, and she's going to talk about the values of being an artist and trying to maintain a vision and collaborating with other artists and the work that she's doing. She'll be at the San Francisco Library next week. But again, the this upcoming weekend, the Fairfax Festival, don't miss it. You can learn more information at www.fairfaxfestival.com. And thank you, Richard Pedamonte, again for joining us on this show, where we like to talk about community and what you can also bring to your own community. So thank you again, and we will see you next week at 12 o'clock. And until then, have a great rest of the week.